saying cuss words, guys. It's inappropriate and violent.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Yeah, this isn't Rent the Runway. You can't send back your pocket pussy.
You can't really hand me down it to someone.
No,
either.
It's not like I'm going to give it to my kid at 13 and be like, son, my father and my father's father used to fuck this small truck. And now you're going to fuck it too.
This is a hand-me-down.
You know what I'm saying, son?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, boy!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my beautiful co-host, Kristen Joy. Only best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Okay, we were talking last episode about this poop transplant
shit that we were talking about.
I know, I'm going to bring it back up just for a second, because I just learned that here in our own town, there are companies, facilities, that are willing to pay $500 per specimen for research on this fecal matter transplant, FMT.
Okay.
So get to pooping, Chrissy.
I know. That's where we can
make up
some extra money.
Yeah, that's true. Who needs sponsors when I got $500 coming out of my butt every morning?
Save that morning press conference
sample. I'm sorry, sir. There's too much fentanyl in your poop. We can't take you. Well, Chrissy here leads a clean life. So take her poop.
I've been juicing.
You have. How's that going?
Good.
Good.
Just adding it in.
Just putting it into the
mix.
I can't believe they're willing to pay $500.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I bet you have to go through like a cadre of tests.
Probably.
Yeah, you have to be super clean to do that kind of thing. But it might be worth the drama. Especially since I poop once a day, at least, you know? So if I poop once a day, that's $500 a day.
Maybe you can just recruit some of the people from your gym and split it with them.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to record. He looks like he's clean living. Or maybe my friend is taking all that testosterone.
Yes.
get that shit in your gut. You'll be feeling really good. And that one lady said she had the transplant and then she felt so good afterwards.
Yeah.
It's because of all the that's all the testosterone in her, poop. I just have to say this, and I know it's going to make me look like an idiot, but why not? You know, this entire podcast is dedicated to me looking like an idiot, so why not? Let's just keep it going. I love those British comedy shows.
Yes.
And so I hopped on one that's on the BBC or whatever, the Brit Box or whatever, and it's called The Trip. And The Trip is Alan Partridge, who's like a famous comedian that has done a number of television programs for the BBC.
Right, okay.
And he and his friend, it's like a mockumentary, right? They go on trips, weekend trips, around the country, around UK, to go to different restaurants and hotels and historic places. And then they have fun, right, the entire time. This is the highest brow of highbrow British comedy I have ever watched. And I've watched a lot of British comedy. And when I say highbrow, it's not necessarily that the jokes are like huge intellectual, you know, riddles that you have to figure out. It's just that there's so much of it that goes over my head that I'm finding myself watching this show just like I read a book. You ever read a book and you're like so tired or kind of uninterested or whatever, you read a page and then you have to go read it again because you're like, what was I just reading about?
Yeah.
You're like thinking about a million things.
Right.
And I find sometimes, especially as I get older, this happens to me a lot where I'm reading something and then I'm going, wait, what just happened in the last page? I got to go back and read it again.
Yeah.
Because my poor brain is leaking out with, you know, Disney Junior songs.
It's overblown.
There's too much going on in that head of mine. And I am trying so hard to be an intellectual British man. I feel like I was born in the wrong country.
You do love your British
shows. I do love my British shows. I feel so comforted by them. I don't know what it is. Is it the politeness? Is it the dry wit? Is it the kind of loony
accents?
The accents. I don't know what it is, but it feels like a warm blanket every time I turn on a British comedy. But this one has me actually thinking. Most of the time, I don't have to think. I get it, right? This one has me thinking. And I feel like such a fucking moron watching this show because they're telling all these jokes and giggling about them. And I'm like, wait, was that a joke? Was I supposed to get that one? Let me rewind and just check and make sure that I didn't miss anything. It'll be like, you know, in 1744, the Queen's hatchet and the ratchet and the fox and the hound. And I'm like, what? Queen's ratchet and the hatchet and the fox and the hound. What the fuck is this guy talking about?
Some stuff may mean, you know, specific things to people in Britain.
I know, but I want to know.
I will look him up.
I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who understands the highbrow British comedy. There's like 6 seasons of this. I haven't even gotten through episode number 2. I've been watching it for 4 months. I swear to God. I'm like, oh, fuck, why do I do this? And they'll read poetry, like when they're driving down the road. One of the guys like likes to read poetry to the other guy, right? Yeah. And they'll laugh about it. He's like, you know, and Miss Crumb it with her noodle in the swigging and the poodle and then down on the ground when you have to run round. And he's like, I better Mrs. Cratchit run around with the ground on the pound. And I'm like, why was that funny? I mean, it's funny sounding, but I don't know why it was funny. And then they'll do all these voices like Sean Connery saying intellectual things like, you know, so British Russians. And I'm like, what? I want to know. I so badly.
Oh, you might just need to stick to TLC.
No.
Yeah.
I gotta expand my horizons a little bit, Chrissy. I can't be 600-pound life guy forever. I can't be my 1,000-pound sisters forever. I can't. I just can't. I've got it. My kids are going to think I'm a total fucking moron. I mean, they already think I'm a total fucking moron. But when they get old enough to realize exactly what my, you know, pop culture intake is, they're going to be like, I have the uncoolest dad in the world. He watches My 1,000-Pound Sisters, the Seven Little Johnstons, and BritBox. BritBox. Which, by the way, BritBox is a ripoff because they don't show any shows that are younger than 2008. They're all like old shows. So I'm watching these shows from, you know, 2007, 2006, whatever.
No, they've got that new Cary Grant one that I want to watch.
Cary Grant?
Yeah, it's all about Cary Grant.
Well, that seems too highbrow for me, too. I don't know. I think of Cary Grant, I think of like a highbrow guy. I don't know.
Well, he played a lot of highbrow guys, a lot of suave, debonair guys.
Was he in that famous scene, Casablanca? Was Cary Grant in Casablanca?
I don't think so.
Here's looking at you, kid.
No, that was... Anyways.
Marlon Brando?
No.
No?
Tom Spencer Cruise? Tracy.
Al Pacino? Spencer Tracy. Dick Tracy? That was Dick Tracy? No shit. Harris looking at you, kid. Never got that. Never understood it. Never understood why it was such a great scene in the movie. But it Casablanca, you know.
Well, it was the times, you know. Again, maybe you're watching stuff from old times. Old times in
maybe
Britain.
I'm just watching stuff that's age appropriate for me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I should start watching age-appropriate stuff, like, you know, the NRIE channel or something like that. One Fox News or One America or whatever that shit is. I walk into my mom's place in that retirement home.
Yeah.
My mom's in the hospital right now. Everything's okay. As okay as it could be when you're in the hospital. But she's there. So I got to make multiple trips to her house because every time she needs something, I got to go to her apartment, get it, and then, you know, bring it back. And every time I go in there, I am a good son. Yeah, I'm a good son because now I realize that if I don't show my kids how to treat their parents, then that's the way I'm going to get treated.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I didn't have kids, I'd probably just ignore her. But since I have kids, I just can't ignore her. No, I'm kidding. She wants to come on the show. And I'm like, Mom, I don't want you on the show when you have that, when you're in the fucking hospital, that beeping and.
Heal up.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Well, she thinks it's part of her healing process. And I'm like, listen, the commercial break isn't your therapy, Mom. Okay, it's my therapy. So there you go. Yeah. It's Chrissy's therapy.
Yeah.
Every time I walk into that apartment complex, they got that, whatever the news channel is, where all the, you know, that's a little weird. They have the super conservative news channels,
right.
Which is fine. People watch whatever points of view. I get it. We all have our own shit, but it's just a little, like, it feels a little off to me. And then they have all the books that's like the magazines and everything is geared toward, I feel like, scaring old people into being more scared about the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand it. Like when you get older and you get frail, the world becomes a little bit of a scary place.
Yeah, there's lots changing and going on.
You're not like me, spry and young and ready to take on any hooligans that come your way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's not my mom. She's got a walker. She walks around like that. So things get scary. And then you go to the place that's feeding you information.
I know.
And telling you all the things that you can do to, you know, by mainly voting for someone, that you can do to you know, change the world around you. When, you know, you can get just as scared watching CNN. I mean, you could get just as scared watching NBC.
Yeah.
So I go into that place. And then when I go into my mom's apartment, she's got the fucking TV on. Chrissy, I swear to God, it is so loud.
The loud.
I can hear it the second I walk into the retirement home. And she lives at the very back of the building. And you can hear this.
I'm surprised you don't hear everybody's
next
TV.
On Judge Judy. You can't. You can hear some people's TVs. Yeah. Yes, when you're walking by, you can hear it, right? But my mom takes, she has it on 100. When I go to change the volume, like turn it down, it was on 100.
It was 100.
And she sometimes she complains, I can't hear my TV. And I'm like, you can't hear anything then, Mom, because you have it on 100. Who uses 100 on their volume? I've never made it past 40, I don't think.
I know.
And then Astrid complains that I'm listening to it too loud. You're just like your mom. No, I'm not. I'm 60 points away from my mom. I only go to 40. She goes to 100. Give me a break. I'm not that senile. Am I yet? I don't know. She's got that thing cranked up so loud, Chrissy.
Yeah, a lot of older people do that.
Fucking unbelievable. Speaking of television shows that we were watching, we were talking about 7 minutes ago before we started this whole tirade on my mom's volume. You don't watch this on TLC, but there's this 1,000-pound sisters. Have you seen this one?
I've seen about it.
Tammy and Slammy or whatever their names are. Tammy and
I've not watched it, but okay. I've seen snippets about it.
Yeah. So it's two sisters who I think the show initially was because they had some popularity on YouTube doing this YouTube show, and combined they weighed over 1,000 pounds. They're big girls. And the first episode of this show, I shit you not, they're sitting there and they got bottles of diet soda in front, 2 liter bottles of diet soda in front of them. And they're just guzzling it out of the 2 liter bottle. And they say that they believe part of their weight problem is because their mom told them that every time you eat a sugary, fatty snack, you could reduce your calorie intake. In other words, you could get negative calories by drinking Diet Coke, by drinking diet soda.
Eesh.
I mean, it's just so like, it's wild, right? It's insane.
That's sad.
It's sad.
Bad misinformation.
Terrible. So the whole show is about their journey and their sisterhood, and their, you know, they both now have gotten this weight loss surgery from a doctor that's actually here. I think he's here in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. So they're on season number, whatever, 6 or 7. This is one of those shows that I don't really pay attention to, but like sometimes I put it on in the background just to kind of catch up on whatever's going on. This show is simply insane. This show is a picture of two girls who live in Kentucky who are, I feel like this show is just a little snapshot of what's going on in many, many, many households across America. Many households across America.
Mm.
And that is terrible diet, family that's a little bit off, misinformation to the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
They barely have command of the English language. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I watch it, I think to myself, this is not about the Slayton sisters, which is their names. This is not about the Slayton sisters. This is about what's happening in so many homes across America.
Yeah, that's tough to think about.
I know. And I think to myself, thank God I live in a normal household where nothing fucked up goes on. I am so glad that this household will not produce shitty children that drink negative Diet Coke calories. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is also wrong. Because when I look at my children, all they want 24 fucking hours a day is candy and cookies.
Candy.
No matter how hard I try. Candy. I catch my kids. They are working as a team to get to the candy that is up on the top shelf. And some of them aren't even of talking age. They don't even speak yet. And they're like lifting each other up on their shoulders. They're doing this whole like, you know, Cirque du Soleil shit to get to the candy. I caught them one day. I walk into the thing and the one's got a stepladder and the other one's got a stick and they're trying to swipe it off there. There's shit all over the ground. They're in the pantry just knocking stuff over left and right. A little bit to the right. A little bit to the left. These kids are incredibly intelligent because they're trying to get to their candy. And I think to myself, The Slayton sisters are a snapshot of what's going on in every household in America. I mean, I'd like to think to myself I'm different than the Slayton sisters, but I'm not different than the Slayton sister. My kids also think that Diet Coke is negative. I've never let my kids drink a soda ever. They've never had any soda whatsoever.
Not good.
No, it's not. But it doesn't matter because in the United States of America, it is so accessible. All this fatty, sugary food is so accessible.
And so convenient.
And I sometimes I think we watch stuff or we look at stuff like Instagram, you know, we hate watch posts and, you know, we're following these people because they're ridiculous or fat or ugly or whatever this stuff is. It only takes 1 second of critical thinking to realize you are no fucking different. You know, the other day I was making fun of this person on Instagram who's the anti-influencer who just, I don't show my tits as much, my breakfast, blah, 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 blah. And that's all she's doing is showing her tits and showing you her breakfast and all the breakfast club and how many parties she went to and all this other shit. I think to myself, thank God I'm not that guy. But then I come on this stupid program and I talk about every fucking thing that I'm doing as if someone's going to be impressed about it. Like as if someone really gives a shit about what Brian shat out for breakfast this morning. I mean, it just doesn't. I'm no better than any of them. No better than any other human being on this earth. And we are all doing the exact same things. Maybe not to the degree of the Slayton sisters. Maybe we're not 1,000 pounds. But who's to say we won't get there? If my kids could formulate a plan and write it on a chalkboard and to tell each other, they're drawing up a football play. Okay, you go to the left. I'm going to go to the right. You distract Dad. Fall down the stairs and distract Dad for a few seconds while I go up with a stick and knock things all over. Fucking kids.
My nephews are the same way. They love the candy. Candy.
Once you get them a taste, that sugar.
Well, Halloween was just that.
It's the worst. Two things I got to say about this. Number one, I think to myself, well, I'm going to whip these kids into shape. They're not going to have any candy and fatty foods and all the other stuff. I'm sitting there at midnight the other night eating a bowl of cereal with fucking half and half. Fucking Lucky Charms with half and half, and one of my kids comes in, Daddy, I want to sleep with you. And I'm like, okay, as soon as I finish my cream and Lucky Charms, and I'm telling you not to eat candy, I'm such a fucking hypocrite. And the second thing I got to say is that, one of the kids' birthdays coming up, and Astrid's buying little gifts. You know, she's so good at all that stuff,
buying gifts.
And setting stuff up and, you know, making sure that everything looks good. If it was left up to me to plan my kids' anythings, I would literally go to Kroger the night before and buy some streamers and be like, you know, Happy Christmas. In a card. You'll get your present when you turn 18. But she does it up right, you know, cakes and cook, you know, all this other stuff.
She was out there making homemade pinatas.
She makes homemade pinatas for every birthday. Every birthday she does that. And I just think it's wonderful. And she doesn't like go buy them.
She was making it. Yes.
She puts this every little detail on there by hand, by herself. She's really good at it too.
Yeah.
So she comes in today and she's got all these like party favors. She says, listen, instead of the kids getting candy as a little takeaway, we're going to give them little toys they can play with.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And a little art set where they can paint and stuff like that.
Good right job, Astrid.
Piece of canvas and all this. I thought, that's such a good idea because nothing pisses me off more than going to a birthday party. And then the kids play for 5 seconds. And then the next thing, they're eating pizza. And then they have potato chips. And then they're giving them fucking fruit juice that has no fruit in it. And then they're having cake. And then there's cupcakes. And then they give them candy. And then they want to give them a bag full of candy walking away. And Astrid and I always say to each other, and by the way, we talked to other parents about this who have done this, like we have. And they say, it's such a stupid idea. Then why do we do it? I don't know, because it's what you do, I guess. I'm not really sure. So for this kid's birthday, Astrid came to me last night. She goes, listen, tell your family and anyone who's coming to the party, don't get any more fucking toys for the kids. Don't get any more candy for the kids. Tell them to make a donation somewhere, right? St. Jude's or whatever you got to do, or to the college fund or whatever you want to do. Do that. Because if we have one more fucking thing in here, you can have 3 million toys in your playroom and the kids want to chew on a broken wire. That's what they want to do. They don't want to play with their toys. They want to stick needles in their eye. That's what they want to do. They don't care about the toys. They care about anything they can't have, like the candy that's up on the 15th shelf in my fucking pantry. And the kids are, acting like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, flying down from the attic. Like, you know, I got it. It's crazy. It's insane. How are these children so smart?
I know they usually just want, they end up going to just a couple of toys and then that you lose interest in that. So, yeah. I've started doing like just small gifts for my nephews and
smart.
Then doing money
smart.
Into a savings.
We talked about this.
Just so I can give them something.
Yeah, you like, I get it. Okay, a little gift. All right,
a little
something that they can open up and makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And they feel happy that they got something. You know,
they really like these books that I've been getting. They're the like about animals that are going extinct. It's this photographer, Joel Sorte. Is his name and and they love looking at other pictures.
These
of
won't
the
be
animals.
Around when you're old enough to understand what they are.
Well, it kind of tells them, you know, about teaches them about conserving the earth.
Oh, okay, that's got a good message to it. Scaring the kids in.
Cool
no,
books.
I get it. Yeah, like some of my kids like books too, but you know, some of them don't. And then you get this whole thing, get in this whole situation where, and plus, you can get the kids a million toys also. But what happens is one of the children ends up finding a toy that they have some interesting game with, and then all the other kids want to play with that one toy.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself being Judge Judy around my house every fucking 15
right.
minutes.
He's
here.
Got it.
I know. He's got it. She's okay. Who had it first?
Right.
Okay, stop yelling at each other. Okay, if we don't share, I'm going to take it away. Because I'm saying all the same things my dad. I'm a goddamn dad. I'm my goddamn dad. Ever wanted to be my dad, and now I'm my dad. My dad was right about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fucker. Fucker. He was right about every fucking thing. And I find myself being my dad. That's what I am.
Yeah.
And I wish that I wasn't. You know my dad did? He never had any candy in the house. That was it. That was the rule. We just didn't have candy in the house.
Yeah.
Until we got old enough to buy it for ourselves or, you know, get a dollar and go into the quickie
mart. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of candy either. I mean, we weren't not allowed to have it. I think that's a thing, you know.
No.
Because if you tell somebody, no, they you cannot have it.
That's what's happening.
You want it more.
Yeah.
But we didn't really have candy a lot around in the
That's
house.
When the kids start devising plans to get up on the 15th shelf. You know what I'm
we
saying?
We definitely didn't have a big bowl of candy.
You definitely did not. No.
No.
No bowls of candy. We had a lot of like snack things. My mom would buy snacks.
Yeah, snacks.
Yeah, like
the Hostess stuff.
Yeah, Nutter Butters and all that other crap. I don't think they have Nutter Butters around anymore. I hope they've changed that name.
I know.
Seems offensive. I don't know. I feel like somebody in 2023 would take offense to the word Nutter Butter.
I don't know if they're still around or not.
Nutter Butter?
I do know that the Twinkies are.
Oh, Twinkies are still around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can't throw those things away.
The Swiss cake rolls.
Oh, yeah, the Swiss cake rolls. What about Ding Dongs?
Ding Dongs.
Yeah, they got to be around, right?
Yeah.
Ding Dongs, Ho Ho's, the Christmas tree cakes, Cinnabon. All the classic favorites from the 80s and 90s that were have you well on your way to being the Slayton sisters.
I know.
Okay, hey, let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with, you know, more of this usual.
Yep.
All right.
Are you mindlessly scrolling Instagram right now? How about throwing us a follow at The Commercial Break and also at TCB Podcast on TikTok? Check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, to find absolutely everything you could ever want to know about us. And if you simply can't stay away, call us and leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Or you can text us at 855-TCB-8383. While you're contemplating divulging your life dramas to us, have a listen to our sponsors. You know you love me. XOXO Gossip Girl.
Hey everybody, wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Okay, do you want to know what the single biggest challenge for me as a single person was? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking nutritious meals. Do you want to know what the biggest challenge for me as a human with 25 to 60 family members living in my house? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking a nutritious meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a big stress point around here. And since I don't really know how to cook, that stress often falls on other family members. But this holiday season, we're going to try something different. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help us fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to our door. Because Factor's never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, all you have to do is heat and enjoy. You can choose from over 35 weekly flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. And guess what? It's all delivered right to your front door. With Factor, we can be assured that we're making sustainable choices. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. Hey, look at that, a company who's trying to do some good. So head to factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and use the code commercialbreak50 to get 50% off. That's code commercialbreak50 at factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and get 50% off. We also want to thank Factor for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
All right, I promise I tell this story. I have a follow-up on the story. I'm going to follow it up. This is definitely not safe for work, so you know, if you have your children listening, you're an idiot. But here we go. So I got my vasectomy a couple months ago at this point, a good month ago. And when I got my vasectomy, I had some post-vasectomy pain syndrome is what they call it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it's called. PVPF, PVPS or whatever it's called. I got PVPS and I ended up going on the internet to look and see. You know, they conveniently don't tell you this ahead of time, but apparently it happens in like upwards of like 30% of patients.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's more common than people realize that go in to get these.
Yeah. And they don't tell you this stuff ahead of time. The doctor doesn't give you a dissertation on what you could experience afterwards. And so a couple of weeks into the recovery, I felt like maybe I was one of these guys now that I'm, you know, like in some big Reddit hole about, you know, post-vasectomy pain syndrome, which was remarkably mature conversation, by the way, for Reddit. I just have to say that.
That's
congratulations,
good.
Post-vasectomy pain syndrome Reddit posts. They were remarkably mature. And a lot of guys were sharing that they experienced this for 6, sometimes 12 months, sometimes longer.
Wow.
And what it is basically it's referred pain. It's invisible pain. It's like someone gets a leg, has to get a leg amputated, and then they feel this like residual pain. That's what's going on in your testicles.
They're feeling the residual sperm.
You're feeling they have nerve endings down there, and it's like trying to, you know. It's like, doot, 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 your balls are on fire. We disconnected somewhere along the line.
Yeah, they do try and reconnect.
Hey, Brian, something's going wrong down here. Pay attention. No, don't whack it. Go to the doctor, you dumb.
Well, I can't go to the doctor because the doctor says it's just part of the recovery process.
I don't care what the doctor says. Something's loose down here and shit's going wrong. Can't you see the size of your testicle? It's a softball, bro.
I'll put some ice on it.
Stop listening to Jeff. He's no scrotal Sherpa. Get on it. Go to the doctor.
I did call the doctor. Yeah. The doctor says, hey, listen, part of the deal. It's part of the deal. You'll be fine. Everything's okay, right? Don't worry about it. But as I get deeper into this, there is a certain amount of, let's call it homework that you have to do after you get done with the vasectomy.
You do have homework.
The pipes are not cleaned out just because they've been snipped. You have to clean them out.
And it's more than our other recommended 21.
Yes, it's very often. Mm-hmm. You have to do it very often, which with 35 people in the house is really hard to try and get your homework done. You gotta like set an alarm for 4 in the morning,
there's
right?
There's a recommended EPM.
Yeah. You have to set an alarm. I have to set an alarm for 4 o'clock in the morning and tiptoe around the house to whack off.
Turn on 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, turn on 50 Shades of Grey. Get myself, you know, do a little self-love. I go in the mirror and I light some candles. Uh-huh. I put on some soft music and then I tickle my nipples with a little horse crop. A horse crop. I go to my own red room. I'm making up my own red room in front of the mirror. So I'm like, okay, I guess I should do this homework. There's no point to the vasectomy if I don't do my homework.
Yeah,
then I'm just
gotta get it out.
Yeah, I gotta get it out because I do not need any more children running around this house. For God's sakes, Astrid's been pregnant for like 10 years in a row, and I've been changing diapers for 30. So I'm done. And she's done. It didn't take us. There was no conversation about this. It was like, I don't like birth control. And I was like, I'm getting a vasectomy.
Yeah.
She was like, done. Let's do it.
That's
okay,
what we
great.
Said, too, in our household.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I did see a little twinkle of sadness with Astrid yesterday.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah. Because we said that, the baby's, you know.
Yeah, she's growing up.
Yeah.
She's out.
And,
yeah.
And she's like, I know. She's like, it's exciting, but also sad.
I just ignore. Yeah. I just ignore that little sadness. I ignore that little sadness. It's kind of like when you're
I know, but trust me, you're going to have your hands really full these next few years.
Oh, you'll be fine. Don't worry. You'll be plenty occupied.
You'll be glad.
I feel like it's a little bit of a war going. I'm in war with Astrid, not against her, but no, with her.
Yeah,
like, you know, she just saw her best friend get shot, right? And I'm like, we just got to get the mission done. So ignore your sadness for right now.
Yeah.
You got to get the mission done.
Mission critical.
This is mission critical. This is the most important thing going on in my life right now. Not this podcast, not those kids. The most important thing is that I don't have another one coming, right?
All right.
So, and that I get all the poison out. That's what I got to
yes.
do. So,
and they actually do call it poison on like your little test box.
Yes, it's like poison. Poison.
Jeff was showing it to me. He's like, it says it's poison on here when you have to send your sample in to be checked.
Well, treat it like poison. Well, there's two things about that. One, it's got all these signs on the box. Like,
you know,
jizz.
Skull.
Jizz. Yeah. Poison jizz. It literally says cum dumpster on the box. And you got to carry this thing around an office complex for an hour trying to find the doctor. But here's the other thing is that not only that, but I have to call the doctor's office an hour before I intend to come to tell him I'm coming. I have to tell him I'm coming before I'm coming so that he can be in the office to take a look at the sperm.
Okay.
Because you can't, I guess, count sperm when they're dead. I don't know. I guess that's what's going on. Yeah, they have to be alive. That's what I've been told, right? I don't know.
We didn't do that. Ours were mailed off.
He mailed it off?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. There was a special box.
Did they have like some special like cum courier come? The cum courier's on the
No, you gave it to the mailman.
The cum courier.
Got sent off.
Oh, I'm the man mailman. I'll be right here waiting for you to jizz in that cup to shuttle it off to Colorado for testing. So I have to do a cum courier thing. Like, I actually got to put it into a box and then bring it to the
wow.
office.
Okay.
And they tell me I have to call ahead of time to let them know I'm coming within 2 hours, right?
So that you're attending the office.
Yes.
That they're coming.
Yes. That's, first of all, the most embarrassing thing in the world is to have to call the doctor's office and tell them you're about to jizz. Like, how quickly or slowly do I have to make that phone call? You know, do I have to be, I don't know, I'm assuming that I, you know.
And then you make the call.
Hey, it's Brian. Listen. I think I'm getting close. I'll be right there. Is the doctor in?
I'm sorry, he's not.
Okay, I'll try again tomorrow.
Like, I have this whole thing in my head where I'm just going to be so embarrassed and red about bringing my cum into the doctor.
I know, that's crazy.
It is insane.
It's different.
It's insane. So, okay, so I got this. So you have to do this homework. You got to shoot off about once a day, really,
yes.
for like 60 days, something like that, right? To get it all out because there's still sperm left in the tube. Mm-hmm. So you have to get that stuff out of the tube. Even though the tube is clipped and cauterized, you have to still, you know, do your thing.
Clean it out.
Clean it out. Clean out the poison. So there is no way that I feel I can accomplish my homework in the state of pain that I am feeling. Like,
right.
there is no yanking going to go
no.
on. I can't even, like, my boxers rubbing against it was feeling bad. So at this moment in time, back then, I was like, okay, well, I don't even know how I'm going to accomplish this. Luckily, a Reddit writer, had a whole post on this and many other men chimed in. And here's what they said about the post-vasectomy pain syndrome. You can get toys that do the work for you without any yanking, right? Mm-hmm. Get a robotic or an electronic thing that vibrates and twists around and does all this stuff, a fake vagina, right?
Okay.
Basically a pocket pussy. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I have come to new lows now. Literally, I have come to new lows. I have got to get a pocket pussy to do my homework. But I also know
that you didn't have to do your homework right away.
No, not right away, but I'm getting to the point
where
they say
10
days, right?
Yeah.
10 days, and then you got to start doing your homework.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 to 10 days.
Nervous.
I'm getting nervous because I'm on like day number 9 and I'm still not. I'm getting nervous that I'm not going to be able to jizz all over the place appropriately enough. So I'm like, okay, all right. So I told Tina this on this story. The listeners probably have heard, or maybe they tuned out the second they heard, that I go on to the very famous sex toy shop that everyone knows about. And I look at the ratings, basically. I'm looking for electronic vagina with high ratings, right? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you want to go high quality.
I want to go high quality. I want to know that lots of other guys have had experience with this. You don't want to get a one-star rated pocket vagina. You know what I'm saying? You want to get the highest one. You want to know that all the other perverts out there feel great about it. And people write these long fucking reviews.
They do.
It's like, Jesus. This felt just like coming into a fucking hot choo-choo. And you're like, okay. So I stopped reading the reviews. I just look for the star rating, right? Let's say I had like 5,000 star ratings. So I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't pay much attention to the actual machinery. I just said, okay, this one, right? I'll order this one. So I order it.
You didn't like look at what it does in the description and the and that?
It said vibrating electronic vagina. I thought, that's good. I'll do that one, sure. Okay. I don't know. I've never bought a pocket pussy before, so I don't know. So I order it, and then, of course, all the Christmas packages are coming, you know, fast and furious. Right. And now I'm running around the house, like, whispering to Astrid, the pocket pussy is coming. The pocket pussy is coming. Hi-ho, hi-ho, the pocket pussy I know is coming today. Don't let the kids go away. Oh-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho. I'm just like, I'm monitoring the front door.
Don't wrap that present.
I know. As soon as the Amazon guy comes, I, like, open the door, and I'm like, is it a pocket pussy? So, and I didn't order from Amazon, but anyway, so finally the thing comes and then I'm like, okay, now I got to come. Like, okay, now we got to get to work, right? Chrissy, I swear to God, this thing, the box is so big and it is so heavy that I'm like, what did I get myself into before I even opened the cardboard box that it came in, right? Nondescript to Brian Green from Pervert Services, right?
Right.
I'm sure my name is on a mailing list somewhere. Now I'm going to start getting, you know, pocket pussy discount mailers.
Yes.
Some shit.
It for sure is.
So it comes. I open up this box. Chrissy, what showed up was not a pocket pussy. It was a small Volkswagen with vagina lips on it. It was a machine. It was a car that I had to now fuck its tailpipe. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like this big. It's like this big. It weighs like 4 or 5 pounds. I don't know. It's so heavy. I don't know what to do
when
with
you
it.
Opened it, did it. Like parts of it like clang onto the floor.
It's got like a tripod. It's got a tripod, and then you got a like a measuring tool and a compass on top.
Balance.
You got to run at it and attack it like, ah. I'm in. Press the button quick. It's got a remote control. It's got this thing that's supposed to tickle your balls. I don't know. It's a whole thing. So I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I don't want to fuck this thing. I don't want to fuck anything except my wife. I really don't. Like, I don't want to have sex with this thing. I just don't.
Right.
I've never used one. And now, I mean, listen, I talk like a prudish fuck on this show, but I am definitely not. Like, I am all about it, whatever it's about. But I've never owned one of these things, so I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
So now I've got this contraption that I have to hold with two hands. Right? And so I was telling Tina, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have sex with this Volkswagen. Like, I just can't do it. So after we open it, I'm showing it to Astrid, and I get in the shower, and then Astrid's like on the way out the door, and I'm like, there's no way I'm fucking this. I'm sending it back. This is crazy. It's ridiculous. I don't need this thing. And she's like, listen, you don't have to be embarrassed. Go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah,
and,
you know, yeah, do
and
it.
And I was like, it's not embarrassment, or maybe it is, but I just don't want to have sex with this car-shaped vagina. Like, I just don't. And she's like, okay, good night, right? So,
well, if you're in the shower, then I know you've got your phone.
Definitely. So yeah, the shower is the place where you got to have your phone. Yeah.
So that's where you can look at other material, maybe, and didn't think about the.
I could. I got out my Sears Roebuck catalog, my JCPenney catalog.
The 1990 Victoria's Secret Angels.
I don't even like to go that graphic. I'm talking like JCPenney bra catalog from 1984. That's what I'm into. Uh-huh. That's where my formative years were.
Right.
Right? I steal the JCPenney catalog from my mom. And I'd be whacking off underneath the bed. So I'm like, okay, all right. So a couple days go by. you know, I find myself like each night, like taking it out, looking at it, putting it back in the box, throwing it away, like putting it in a secret place so the kids don't find it. I can't masturbate in the shower. Yeah, because I have 30 children and it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. They just pop in whenever they, you know, I can't control when they sleep or don't sleep. And the last thing I want to do is ruin my children by them walking
well,
in.
You have a lock on the door, right?
I do, but if I lock it, then they're going to wake up their mom because daddy's in the shower. Well, let me in, you know? And then now the whole household is up. My mother-in-law's in there. My
Blue.
Father. Hi, yeah. Brian. Blue's barking at me. Everybody walks in, and I've got a small car in the shower that I'm fucking. Hey, Brian. Gustavo's like, oh, brother. Brother. Your balls are black and blue, bro. And my kids are like, why is daddy's penis stuck in that car? More importantly, why does dad's penis look like two softballs? Okay, everybody settle down. I'm just trying to do my homework. So I found myself like taking it out, like I press the button, is like vibrating, but it's not vibrating a little bit. It's like
like a jackhammer.
Yes, like a jackhammer. It's like shaking me. My whole body is shaking. And then they have this guy like a sucking thing, and it's like. First of all, I couldn't use this thing because the whole house would wake up. Everyone would know. It's like you could hear the. So I'm trying to like size it up, right? It's like I'm dating this thing. I'm sizing it up. We go out for a couple nights, but we don't do anything, and you know, I'm just trying to get a handle.
Get to know it.
I'm trying to get its vibe. You know, I'm trying to figure out what it likes. It's got this weird vagina face on it. It's like, oh, that doesn't really look like a vagina. So finally, I'm like, okay, Brian, stop being a fucking pussy and fuck the pussy, right? Just stop doing this. Stop being an idiot. Just go for it.
You got to do this.
Chrissy, I swear to God, I promise you, this is the truth. I am not in any way well endowed. I am an Irish boy from Chicago. I'm the shortest of all my brothers. I've never been particularly big in any department. But I could not, for the life of me, have sex with this thing. I couldn't get in it. But part of me was like really not happy about having to do it in the first place. And then the other part of me was like, I was kind of like giving it like the half try, right? I was like, okay, but I could not okay. for the life. I know. We're like, it's like I'm in a weird relationship with this thing. I'm like, okay, just the tip. I'll just put the tip in. Let me see what happens.
Was it like adjustable?
No, it's not adjustable. Okay. It's like a sleeve that goes down. It's a whole thing. I can't explain it, right? But there's no adjustment.
The tube type thing.
It's a tube that goes into a larger piece of machinery that causes the vibration and the sucking, I guess. And then it comes with cleaning juice. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking gross. I just don't want to do this. There's just nothing about me that wants to do this. So, I'm giving it the old try, but I cannot get in it. Like, it won't go in. It's like, I've never experienced this before. No vagina in my life has been too small for me. And this is the one? Did I get the extra small version? What does the extra large version look like? It was 3 minutes of comedic embarrassment is what it was. I was like, this is God just sending me a sign that I shouldn't be doing sex toys. Because even I bought the most expensive, convoluted, contraption, most highly rated thing in the world, where 5,974 guys had no problems with it. And they sent me a malfunctioning one, a vagina that doesn't open.
Were you using the right bar? I feel like there's some kind of user mistake happening.
There probably is. I probably actually had to have a boner to get it in there. I don't know. Because I wasn't excited about it. It didn't excite me. I wasn't like, you know.
So you're saying this is not going in your red room.
This is not going in the red room. Okay. And luckily, a couple of.
Piece.
Yes.
You walk in.
Welcome to my red room. That's my Volkswagen pussy. I just gave up. At some point, I just gave up. I said, okay, not for me. All right, whatever. Luckily, I was able to do my homework a couple of days later with minimal pain. Like, it hurt, but I figured it out, and I got there. And just the way I always have since I was 11 years old. I figured it out. Me and my 10 friends figured it out all by ourselves.
You can't send it back.
No, you can't. As soon as you open it, you can't send it back. And that's probably a pretty good policy. I'm on board with that one.
I agree.
Yeah, this isn't Rent the Runway. You can't send back your pocket pussy.
You can't really hand me down it to someone
no,
either.
No, it's not like I'm going to give it to my kid at 13 and be like, son, my father and my father's father used to fuck this small truck. Now you're going to fuck it too.
It's handed down from generation to
this
generation.
Is a hand-me-down. It's hand-me-down. You know what I'm saying, son? I don't want you to grow up like I did. I want you to experience new things. Here's some cleaning juice. You might want to take a stab at that. And I don't mean that literally. Oh, my God. Oh, my kids are going to hate me when they get a hold of this podcast. All right, we've got to take a break. This ran way too long. But that's the update. There's the update.
Okay, good.
I tried. It didn't necessarily work for me. But
well, you tried.
Listen, I know a lot of people use them, and God bless you. Maybe I just – somebody send me some advice or something. I don't know.
Maybe
if I ever
you need
wanted
to get back on that thread. And
yeah,
and
let them
update.
Know. Yeah. I'm going to go leave a comment.
Yes.
How do you get into this thing? How does this work? Question mark. I'm going to contact support. Do they have support for sex toys?
I bet they do.
I bet they do. You know it. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with Mountain Monsters, some of your favorite. We'll be back.
Ugh, finally. I feel like I was waiting forever for my turn to talk. Now that I have you, go to tcbpodcast.com to find all of our audio and video content and follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. Want it to be your turn to talk? Call us and spill the tea at 626-ASK-TCB3 and you may hear your voice on the show. You can also text us your tea at 855-TCB-8383 and boy, do we love to hear it. Anyway, take a listen to our sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Okay, let's get into it quickly. We got a little bit of time left. I wanted to start the season off right. We've already done a Frankie B. We're going to cover a couple of our old favorite topics, and then we'll get into, you know, new material. Well, we did have the poop thing, too, which was a great way to kick off the new year. Between Brian's pocket pussy and the poop shake, I think we're off to a rousing start.
Yep.
Our new network's going to be jazzed with us, or jizzed with us, one of the two. All right. Mountain Monsters. I had to take a look at this Mountain Monsters because the title of the video is We Caught a Creature on Camera.
Oh,
and that
really?
Is something they have never done. Yeah, I got it. I finally got it. It, at first, it looked like Bigfoot, but it turns out it was just Brian's pocket pussy left in the woods. It was vibrating, running, scampering across the woods. It was running from Brian, if you know what I mean. All right, okay, 1 second. All right, I was throwing on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do. Here you go. Here's your Mountain Monsters kickoff season number 5. All right. I actually probably have to press play, huh? I guess.
I'm going to sit on this bucket.
Here, take a shit. It's called a Kentucky Crapper.
Send it away for a sample.
That's right. It's the Tucky Crapper. The Tucky. I'm going to start calling Kentucky Tucky. Oh, yeah. Maybe he's doing the FMT, too.
Yeah, he might.
He might need it.
I'm just going to dump this out.
I bet you are going to dump that out.
He's dumping out nails.
I'm going to get the bell out.
Looks like. Oh.
There it is.
Nails and a bell?
This is the bell that boy was forced to come out here.
That's a bicycle bell. What?
I know.
You guys have gone to new lows. You put out a bicycle bell for monsters? What the good fuck is going on here? What monster responds to a bicycle
ding,
bell?
Ding,
ding. Ding. You found my bell.
The folklore is you come out in this cornfield with no lights, you ring the bell, and something's supposed to happen.
Something's supposed to happen. Sounds like a great plan, Huck. Let's go out in the scary woods with no backup and make sure we ring
the
bell.
Turn off all the lights.
Yeah, turn off all
the
lights.
Ring the bell.
Oh, sounds great. I'm in.
I am. Kid.
That's kind of like my experience with the with the vibrator.
Yeah.
Something's supposed to happen.
I had to be tough as nails. That being said, I'm about to turn my light out. Here we go. What I have on the camera is an infrared light that cannot be seen by humans and it cannot be seen by animals. Part of me hopes nothing happens.
Well, this sounds like a well thought out strategy here. Let's turn off all the lights, ring the bell, and have the death bell monster come and eat you up.
And the camera, so I think he just might have set that up.
Yeah.
The camera, animals can't see.
And humans can't see the infrared. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really look like infrared to me. It looks like he's got a light on because he had a headlamp on that he turned off. It made no difference in the amount of light that was shown. None.
But there's only one way to find out.
Listen to that music.
He's about to ring the bell.
And then he
bell.
Rings a kid's bell. It's so anticlimactic. Climactic.
Sounds very difficult.
Red Rover, Red Rover! Let your death cat come over! Red Rover, Red Rover! Let your bloodthirsty, monstrous, fat-eating human creature come over!
Put the spell down. And now I guess I just wait and see if anything happens.
What in the fuck is going on here?
I guess so.
Oh, go ahead.
Jeff has entered the upstairs closet. He wants to experience the folklore himself.
I didn't know there was a closet in the woods.
No, I know.
I don't know. Which cornfield has a closet? That's cool. They have closets in cornfields? So it's just Jeff, one of the members of the cast, who's sitting in a, I don't know, building somewhere. With his head in his hand, he wants to experience the folklore himself. Can't you just read a book about it? Isn't there a plaque like they have on the side of the road?
How is he experiencing it too with his head in his hands, hitting up against the wall?
Yeah, he's being overdramatic. That's what they get paid to do.
Jeff.
Oh, I'm so sick of life. Is that Jeff or Huck? I thought that was Huck. Huckleberry. Is that not Huckleberry?
I thought it was Huckleberry.
It's Huckleberry
too.
Number four. Because the old Huckleberry wasn't fat. Now he's fat. What happened? They are switching out Huckleberries on us. I'm sure of it. And the tattoos, I think that's new.
No way.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
Look, there's a microphone shadow.
Yeah. There's a camera shadow. I'm sorry, guys. I fucked this all up.
A camera shadow. Like a cameraman shadow. And now there's a microphone shadow.
You mean when you stand in front of the light, it causes those shadows? I got it all wrong, guys. I'm so sorry. Can we start from scratch? No? Jeff's in a psychotic coma? Okay. All right, leave him be. I shouldn't have given him that crystal meth. I'm sorry, guys. I really am. Oh, there was a voice that said, run. Did you hear that? Oh, no, I'm scared. Now they come running out of the closet.
I don't
know. I have no idea.
It's like a pig.
Yeah. I got him. 15 seasons of this and I finally got him. Oh, no, it's just a pig for tomorrow night's roast. I'm sorry, guys.
What was the one we were watching? Where the chicken.
The chicken. That chicken got hit by the car. They were driving a four-wheeler around a farm at night, and a rooster just came running out in front of them, and he hit the rooster. And they didn't mention
it's
it. Not
ghost.
One mention.
It's the ghost of that rooster.
Yeah, that's right.
Go, 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 go
Hey, listen, when God gave it to you, Chrissy, you got to show it off. That's all I got to say.
Me and Brother Willie's working in this corn. All of a sudden we hear screaming come.
My bag's there.
That's the guy that has to yell every time
every
he speaks.
Every time.
Up that house. That's Jeff and Huck. We need to get over and see what the hell's going on.
Why are we talking so loud?
Jeff Rowe. Come on, Bill.
She came at me. I'm telling you, she came right there at me.
My wife. She's trying to have sex after 36 years. I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do without
she came right there at me.
I don't know what to do without my VW pocket pussy.
Who? Their mother. She had blood all over her mouth. It was the most grotesque thing I've ever seen.
Whose mother?
Well,
look, I know the other guys.
I know Huckleberry's like, well, I've seen this a lot in my creature hunting experience. When your blood, when your mother's got blood on her mouth, it means she's been eating some bad chicken wings from that chicken wing place in the gas station. You know what I'm talking about. Anytime you get chicken wings from a gas station, things are bound to end up bad. That's not blood. That's wing sauce from the wing factory inside of the Chevron.
Like a huge flash of light when she entered the room.
More comforting words from Huckleberry. He just saw his dead mother with blood on her mouth. Huckleberry has to say it. Well, the LSD is really kicking in now. You getting trails? I'm getting trails. You starting to feel it? Me too. Oh, Lord. Oh, this is my favorite episode this season, by the way.
I don't know what that closet is, but when you go in there, you can't unsee it.
What's going on? Talk about
it. Can't unsee it. What is it you can't unsee? The hangers?
Yeah, bro, hey!
Yeah, we're all right, guys. Ha! Just hang tight for a minute. We just got over to the house and looked up. You could tell they're all shook.
Trapper Builder. That guy's name. Whatever his name is, but they all have some official title. It is his Trapper Builder. Trapper Builder.
Come on down here, Jeff, bro. We need to get them down here.
One more to the bottom.
And figure out what the hell happened.
Why are they always telling us what they have to do?
I know.
We got to move them 3 feet to the right so we can get to the bottom of this. We got to run through that cornfield naked, make sure we understand what's going on.
Ringing a bell.
We got to put that ladder up there so we can get up. We got to put gasoline in the car so it can drive. We got to cook that chicken before we eat it.
What the hell was all that?
We need to get the hell out of this building. You're just going to have to take our word on it, all right?
All right. Move
Something's out.
Something's got Jeff and Huck shook.
Roll out. Like they're fucking seals. Roll out. I mean, Huck literally rolls out. He's like, dirt. He's like one of those. What was her name? Baruka Salt. Who got big and just rolled across the Wonka factory.
As a blueberry.
Yes.
You all right, Jeffro?
I've never seen them boys in this kind of shape.
Willie, won't you and Bill go get side by side? Come back and pick us up.
We'll be back in two skips. Right now, we need to go find that side by side. We need to go get Buck.
Have they seen something?
And we need to get the hell out of here.
But we aren't going to tell you why. Because that's information that's privileged. Yep. I'm high as fuck. I'm tripping balls now, boys. Hey, can you put on that scarlet begonias in the fire on the mountain back into scarlet begonias from the 77 Wilkerson Amphitheater? I did appreciate it. It makes me feel better.
I found something in that closet.
What'd you find?
It was an old Smash Mouth record. And he's dead.
I don't want to show you or tell you right now. Let's wait till everybody gets together.
Yeah.
Huddle around the camera, yeah. Boy.
He she agrees to it. It's like, I just saw the most scary thing in my life. It's sure to kill us all. I know the dates of our exact deaths. But let's wait a little while. I'll tell you if you don't mind. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. We got to wait on that one. I understand. We got to think that one through. I get it.
I'd like to know what the hell Jeff and Huck seen in that house, man.
Let's go.
Jump in here, fellas. Let's get the hell out of here.
You know, folklore was that you came out here, no lights, you ring a bell. You know, maybe it was just kids talking. I know it doesn't matter whether anything happens.
So what
or
happened
on.
Was they went back to original.
The original spot where it was. So okay, listen.
Ringing of the bell happened.
Yeah, I know. All right, so listen, we're way over time right now. Sorry. Okay, we'll get back to this. I promise.
This
very next episode.
Very interesting.
This is very interesting. I do want to see if they actually catch something on camera, which of course they don't. But it's fun to think
got
about.
Something.
That's right. I'm gonna catch Brian in the shower. With his Volkswagen pocket pussy.
Very scary.
Saw a cum dumpster. All right, kids, don't go whack it off without reading the comments first. That's all I gotta say. You never know. I should probably read some more of those comments. Yeah. They probably share that it's not for well endowed men, which I'm not. So I don't know who it's for. This makes me feel better. In some weird way, it makes me feel better. Maybe I'm just a little bit above average. Or maybe I'm using it wrong. Maybe you're supposed to like loosen it up, take it to dinner or something. I don't know. Table for two. Me and a Volkswagen over here. Can you imagine I'm having dinner with that thing on the table? Trying to spoon feed the vagina. You want some dessert, honey?
Go slow.
I don't want you to choke. Jeez. Waiter. Can we have some more lube over here? Thank you. She gets a little parched with all that sucking. All right. TCB. The most ridiculous episode of the commercial break yet. And that's saying something. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go for more information about the show. You can watch all the videos, listen to all the audio right there from TCBpodcast.com. And you can get your free piggy fronting sticker. It's free to you. It costs me money. So go ahead. Twist in the knife. By going to the website, hit the contact us button, drop down menu says I want my free sticker, and there you go. Give us your address and we'll send it off to you. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I would also like to let you know that you can leave us a message or text us at 626 ASTCB the number 3. That's 1-626 ASTCB the number 3. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we take them all. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, Chrissy, a great day in the books, my friend.
That's right.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to
and
you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast pocket pussy universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say we do say and we must say.
Goodbye.